Welcome to the Vineyard Boise Sunday Message Podcast. You can join us live on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. on Facebook, YouTube, and vineyardboise.org/live. Subscribe to our message podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. And if you'd like to support Vineyard Boise, you can give online at vineyardboise.org/give. Today's message is brought to you by Pastor Brent Jones. Enjoy.
Last week, Pastor Trevor showed a sign, and I want to show that same sign. We're talking about signs. We are talking about signs that the Apostle John said are proof that Jesus is who he said he was. Signs point to something, right? They say, hey, you know, this Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He is who he says he is. Here's a sign. And John lists out seven of them. And we're pairing those with the seven times that Jesus says in the book of John, I am, and then fill in the blank. And we're pairing those together, and it's been really interesting. This week, we're talking about I am the door. I am the door. And so you can go ahead and switch to that sign that Trevor used last week. Trevor talked about the Grand Canyon last week, and I remember this sign because, you know, I'd always seen this sign, you know, and just thought, oh, it'd be so cool. I can't wait. Someday when I take my family there, when I take my kids there, we're going to go and we're going to stop. We'll take our picture with the Grand Canyon sign. And then on the way in, what you realize on the way into the Grand Canyon is you can't stop and take a picture of the sign because that's the only photo that exists without other vehicles in it. It's like, you know, have you seen those things on Instagram where they're like, you know, reality versus the internet, right? This is definitely an internet photo of the Grand Canyon National Park sign because you can't get a photo. The line was so long to get into the Grand Canyon, like we were sitting by this sign for quite some time. We could have hopped out and taken a picture because we were actually sitting by this sign for a while. A couple of years ago, we went as a family over spring break, which is a magnificent time to go to the Grand Canyon. You can show that next photo. We had so much fun going to the Grand Canyon, and I was reminded last week when I taught in 101, like, oh yeah, we love that trip. This is one of the photos that I use. Actually, this one is not. I'll show you the other one in just a second. Don't go there just yet, because the weather was absolutely stunning. It was the end of March. It was like the sun was glorious. There, like you can see, there was like just a little bit of clouds behind my head there. But other than that, it was absolutely stunning. You could see just for miles. You could just see, you could see the other rim. We went to all of the museums and just had a blast. We walked the rim for miles and just had a glorious time in the sun, enjoying it because, as we just talked about, God was punishing Boise at the time with weather. So we headed south, went down to Arizona, and on our way down to visit Kate's folks. And so the first day we're at the Grand Canyon, it looked like this. We had 2 days scheduled. And so this day, Kate and I were looking at it, and you know, we were looking at Bright Angel Trail, which is like a dream. Kate and I have always wanted to hike Bright Angel, and we're like, hey, you guys, what if we just like tomorrow just took a little, you know, we told the kids, and we'd take a little walk on Bright Angel Trail, right? Like, hey, we'll just, you know how today we walked the rim? Like, how about tomorrow when we get here, we just take a little walk down Bright Angel Trail? And back. And they were like, huh, no, we're not into that. No. And so one of our kids began interceding. I don't remember which it was, but you can change the photo to the next day if you'd like. I'm not joking when I say outside the park, there was 6 inches. In Williams, Arizona, they got 6 inches of snow that morning. We walked out to our minivan and we were like, oh my goodness. By the time we got out to the rim, we are standing almost in the same spot that other photo was in. You cannot see the other side today. You could be anywhere in this photo. Literally, I remember just being like, well, that photo is cool. Literally, this is only documentation that we were there that day when it snowed. We could literally be anywhere. The canyon, we are standing right on the rim of the canyon. It's right there. You just can't see it. I told you, one of my kids was interceding, so we wouldn't go down Bright Angel Trail that day. So they win. Still on our bucket list. Anyway, we had a blast at Grand Canyon, but I remember seeing that sign and just thinking, this is going to be the greatest vacation ever. And then, anyways, that happens. All right. That has literally nothing to do with my message. I just wanted to show you a couple photos because I saw them the other day and thought, oh, I forgot about that. All right, we're in the book of John chapter 10. We are talking about signs, so there is some sort of a callback to last week, but we're talking about signs. The first passage we're going to look at where Jesus says, I am, is John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. Today I'm reading part of this in the New American Standard and part of it in ESV, so forgive me for whichever one you're offended by, but okay, John chapter 10. Beginning in verse 7. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All those who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. There we have it. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly. Somehow the last line got bumped off that slide. And have it abundantly. So this is Jesus plain talking something he had just explained to them that they didn't catch. John chapter 10, Jesus is trying to explain something to the people and they're not getting it. And so it says, so he tries again. And he says to them, he tries telling him one way. He tries saying like, hey, you know shepherds, you know sheep, you know grazing, you know pasture. Well, I'm the shepherd. And they're just like, huh? And literally it says they don't understand what he's saying. So plain talk, he says, okay, I am the door for the sheep. Okay? Like he's like, listen. So Jesus, because they didn't get it the first time, he says, I'm the door to life. Anything else is just a poor substitute at best. And at worst, it's a thief that steals, kills, and destroys your life. Now and in the hereafter, I am the door to life. This is the I am that we're looking at today. And at the same time, we're holding it up with this statement with this other story of Jesus healing someone. John calls it another sign that Jesus is the Son of God. So let's look at this story in John chapter 4. We're gonna just hold these two together and see what God might speak to our hearts today. John chapter 4, verse 43. And after 2 days, he departed from there, Jesus we're talking about, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him only because they had seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves also went to the feast. Therefore, he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water into wine. Remember? We just heard about this last week, the water into wine. And there was a royal official whose son was sick in Capernaum. Verse 47, when he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and began asking him, note this wording, he began asking him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. The royal official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go, your son is alive. The man believed the word Jesus spoke and went home. As soon as he was now going down, his slaves met him saying that his son was alive. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. Then they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the hour in which Jesus said to him, look at that word, that sentence, Jesus said to him, your son is alive. And he himself believed in his entire household. This is again a second sign that Jesus performed when he had come from Judea to Galilee. This is quite a story. And it seems on the surface, it seems pretty straightforward. And I'm not saying that it's not straightforward. It is, but there's a little bit of context that helps us see just exactly what Jesus did and why he did it. Jesus comes back to town to this place where he had performed the first sign of the water into wine. And this royal official goes and asks him to come heal his dying son. Jesus responds with this pretty irritated comment and actually throws in a "you people" for emphasis. "You people." We have a little bit of, and we should, have a little bit of a hard time with that kind of talk these days. "You people." Like, oh, Jesus was nice. Jesus was nice. He still said things like, "You people." He says, "You people only believe if you see signs and wonders." If you see signs and wonders. "You people only believe." This guy's like, "Hey, can you help me? My son's dying." And Jesus turns to him and says, "You people only believe if you see signs and wonders." But my son's dying? We don't get an explanation about why Jesus sounds a little bit testy, except there appears to be ripples across the country at this time. Now that he's been in Jerusalem, like throwing over tables and kicking people out of the temple, there's these ripples kind of going out about what he's doing and who he is and why. And it says here that, and he's actually probably been doing some healing there as well, but John doesn't get specific about that at the time in this passage. But we know from the Synoptic Gospels that Jesus is performing miracles all over the place, so it's a pretty safe bet he's been doing a few of them in Jerusalem. And it says that this is a second sign. So why is this the second sign? Why is it going from turning the water into wine to healing the royal official's son? If he's already been doing some stuff, why is this the second sign? I think it's because there's something particular in this situation that stands out to Jesus. So Jesus gives him this "you people" response, but this guy is persistent. He's undeterred. Jesus turns to him as he's a little bit coarse. He's a little bit, you might even say, rude to this guy. And this guy's like, "You gotta come." He's persistent, and he just restates the need. This kind of reminds me when Jesus was talking to the Gentile woman who asked him to cast a demon out of her daughter. There's a story where Jesus is asked by a Gentile woman, a woman that was not Jewish, if Jesus would please cast a demon out of her daughter. And you'd think Jesus would be like, "Yeah, sure, go." And Jesus doesn't say that. He says, "Why would I give the children's bread to dogs?" A little bit coarse, a little bit testy, a little bit like, man, what? I mean, Jesus, you didn't have to go that far, man. You could have just been like, "Nope." Why didn't he just say no? You know what? Because her response is very similar to the one we're reading right now. You know what? She turns to Jesus and she says, "Hey, Jesus, even the dogs get the crumbs under the table when everybody's finished eating." You know what Jesus says about her? It says he marveled at her faith. He marvels at her and says, commands the demon to go. He marvels at her faith and tells everybody at that time. And he just heals her. So this is the same sort of idea. The royal official asked Jesus to heal his son. Jesus makes a comment that might have discouraged, might have dissuaded some. Definitely would have deterred me. But not this guy. This guy is desperate for his son to be healed. And notice, the first time he says, he begins asking Jesus. The second time, by the end of the conversation, he simply says, "Come down." That's what it says. It says at the beginning, he begins asking Jesus. Jesus pushes back and he says, "Come down and heal him." And Jesus heals the boy from over 20 miles away, and not with a "be healed in Jesus' name." Jesus heals him by saying to his dad, "He's healed." Jesus doesn't touch him. Jesus doesn't see him. We have no recorded instance where Jesus ever meets this little boy. But from 20 miles away, the word of God is spoken, and this boy is healed. Jesus, with his comment, is not trying to be mean. He's checking to see if this guy has just has a need or if he has faith. These are two different things. We all have needs. This guy has a very serious need. But to Jesus, it's not just about do you need have a need. Everybody has a need. He's looking to see if you have faith. Jesus isn't looking around to say, hey, oh, that person has a need, that person. Jesus was crushed with need everywhere he went. The Bible records him going from town to town, and the Bible says the crowds would push in on him. They were pushing in on him so much that when the one woman touches him and receives something from him, and Jesus said, who touched me? I felt power leave me. And the disciples are like, Jesus, I mean, you don't even look around you. Everybody's touching you. It's the crowds were crushing. It wasn't about, does this guy have a need? Does that gal have a need? Is this person sick? Does that person? See, Jesus wasn't moved by needs. Jesus was moved by faith. And since he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, I'm gonna say Jesus isn't just moved by your need. He's moved by your faith. So when we come close to Jesus, he's looking to see, I see your need, but I'd love to see your faith. This guy has a need, but does he have faith? In the first sign we saw last week, we see this as well. Mary, Jesus' mother, remember? She says, son, they're out of wine. And Jesus says, woman? Hey, teens, never speak to your mama that way. You'll have a few less teeth in your head. He says, woman? Why? Why? She says, son, they're all out of wine. I think he speaks to her for the same reason that he speaks to this royal official that way. It just puts her back on her heels a sec to see what her response would be. And what's her response? She doesn't even skip a beat. She's like, mm-mm. Do whatever he says to do. That's a mama right there. See, she didn't just have a need. She had faith. More than a need. She had faith for what her son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, could do in that particular situation. So today, he's not just looking to see if we have a need. He's looking to see if we have faith that he's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is why this is the second sign. What stands out to me is that the official believed the word Jesus spoke. Do you remember seeing that in there? He believed the word Jesus spoke. He believed the word Jesus spoke. Contrast this to what Jesus said when he turned to the guy and he's like, you people only believe when you see. And so Jesus tested him and he's like, do you believe what I say? He actually was not one of the you people Jesus was talking about that only believed Jesus because of what they saw. He believed Jesus because of what Jesus said. There is a difference. There is a difference. He believed the word of Jesus. Faith, as the writer of Hebrews declares, let's look at that. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things, see that right there? Not seen. Just leave that up there for a second. Faith is not going to church. Faith is not calling yourself a Christian. Faith is not saying, well, I have it. None of those things are actually faith. Hebrews says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction. That means I believe in things that are not seen. That's faith. Faith is when we believe and have not yet seen it. That's the very definition of faith. Anything else is not actually faith. If you've seen it, there's actually no need for faith. If you've seen it, you don't need to see. Look at the shot. Let's just leave the screen just as it is, guys, for a second. I can right now tell all of you in the room, there's hundreds of people in this room right now. Look around you. There's hundreds of people in this room right now. You don't have to have faith for what I just said. You can see it. Online, I want to tell you, there's hundreds of people in this room right now. Now, unless the camera team cuts out and shows everybody, they just have to believe what I've said. They have to have faith in what I've said. Faith that I'm not lying to them. Faith that I'm telling them the truth. Faith that what I say is a reality. And this is the situation that this man finds himself in. His son's 20 miles away. Jesus is like, I'm not walking there. Jesus walked everywhere, so he wasn't saying that. That's just me. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction, the deep abiding belief in what I have not seen. Remember when that disciple named Thomas, remember the disciple? And growing up, we called him Doubting Thomas. Why? Because everybody else had this testimony. Jesus is risen. The Lord is risen. We've seen him. We've seen him. Jesus is risen. And he was like, I'll believe it when I... So then Jesus, because he's loving and loves Thomas, shows up in the room. And he says, see, look at my hands. See, look at my feet. See, look at my side. And Thomas, let's just read that. Thomas responds to him in John chapter 20, verse 28. Then Thomas answered Jesus, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who've not seen and have yet believed. See, there's a group of people that had seen him, and Jesus is like, yep, you guys got it. You see, I'm risen. You see, I'm the Lord. And then there was this group of people, and can I just say, you and I are in this group of people that didn't get to see him. This right here applies to you and me right now today. Blessed are those who have not seen. That's why we call being a Christian our faith. Because I haven't seen. I haven't seen, and yet I believe. Blessed are those. See, there's two different ideas that Jesus is talking about. He's reassuring his disciple, like, yes, I love you. Yes, I'm risen from the dead. This was the time between Jesus appearing to his disciples and the crucifixion, that was some rough days for the disciples. And Jesus was trying to help that, but he makes a statement here that you and I can hold to today. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Today, I want to spark some faith in you for what Jesus has said that you have not seen. Things Jesus has said that you haven't seen. In our passage, Jesus says, I am the door, but not just a door. Jesus says this just before that phrase. He says, I am the door of the sheep. Later in John 10, excuse me. He says, I am the door of the sheep. A little later in John 10, Jesus is having this interchange with the teachers of the law. And he says, my sheep, he's like, you guys, you don't understand because you're not my sheep. Because listen, my sheep listen to my voice. And they're all offended and they're picking up rocks and stuff. He's like, you don't know, you don't understand because my sheep listen to my voice. They're not just impressed by the stuff that I do. They're not just excited I'm coming to town because I busted some, you know, crooks in the temple. They're not just, they listen to my voice. Shepherds in the Middle East, they lead their sheep vocally with sound. They don't drive their sheep. Sheep are not driven like cattle. They don't have a switch they crack over their heads to get them to move. And actually, did you know, a lot of times, multiple herds of sheep will be in one pen at night. They all go in, and then the shepherd is the door, right? So the shepherd sleeps in the doorway so nobody gets out, but also nobody gets in, and he protects the sheep. But do you know what happens the next morning when there's like five flocks of sheep in there? The shepherds start calling to them. And their sheep listen for their voice. And those sheep trot out, the right ones trot out to them. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. Somebody here today has been wondering about a word that God spoke over you or a dream you've had, or some of us have even been wondering about a particular door, when it's gonna open in your life. Maybe you've like been just knocking on this door like, when is this gonna open, Lord? Jesus states in this I am statement we're looking at today, he says, I am the door. What's that mean? That sounds kind of like, ooh, like Jesus is my everything. That's not what he's talking about. He says, I am the door. You say, well, he's talking about salvation in heaven. Yes, he is the door to salvation. Yes, he is the door to salvation and eternal life. He is. And look at this. Back in John chapter 10, verse 7, again, look at this. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All those who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be, look, saved. So Jesus is the door to salvation. Yes. And will go in and out and find pasture. What does that mean? So is this in and out and find pasture? Is that heaven? That doesn't sound like heaven. I mean, I hope not. Once I'm there, I just want to be there. Amen? I don't ever want to go in and out. What is he talking about? He's talking about a security in your here and now, your life. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so that they would have, and do we have this next slide or is it just gone? Okay, I'm assuming it's just gone. So let me just tell you what it says. Open your Bible app to John chapter 10. Turn to John chapter 10, 7 through 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I, Jesus says, came so they would have life. And have it, what? Life. And have life more abundantly. So he's talking about heaven. He's saying, I came that they'll have eternal life, and I came that they would have life more abundantly. Life that I'm living right now more abundantly. What does that even mean? It's pretty clear. Belief in Jesus leads to salvation, yes. To eternal life, yes, you will be saved. But he also says you'll go in and out and find pasture. And he's not just being poetic. He says he is the door to salvation and to life and life more abundantly. Life with abundance. What does this mean? Well, let's just look up this word abundance. Let's look up this word abundance. Let's see what he actually means. We can't pretend this isn't there. Just because we live in a weird world where preachers buy jets, just because we live in a weird world where preachers on TV tell you to send them your money, just because we live in a weird world where where preachers buy oceanfront property as their second, third, or fourth place to live, that doesn't mean we can ignore this verse right here that says you have life in Jesus and you have life in Jesus more abundantly because it's in there. So what do we make of it? What do we do with it? We look it up. We find out what he's saying. In the Greek, this word abundance, we can go ahead and put it up on the screen. Strong's 4053, super abundant in quantity or superior in quality, excessive, preeminence, exceeding above, advantage, exceedingly, very highly, beyond measure, more, I love that one, more, superfluous, and vehement or vehemently. These are big words. These are big words that Jesus used to describe life when you go through him as the door. This is not to describe a life that you pursue. This is not to describe the things that you pursue. This is not to describe where you live. This is describing the life that you and I have available to us when we walk through Jesus Christ as the door to life. What does that mean? I'm pretty black and white. I like things pretty concrete. Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door for you, the sheep, to eternal life and life here on earth. This reminds me of Psalm 23, this go in and out and have pasture, find pasture. We read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Boy, that seems like what I'd love that word to mean. Oh, especially because I can't seem to delete the news app off my phone. It just like moves to a different screen. I can't like, it's like rooted in the phone. I've got to find a way besides burning my phone to get rid of it. I don't mean like burning like you see in the movies, like burner phone. I'm talking about burning my phone. I love it that much. It also reminds me of Psalm 27. In Psalm 27, he says he's going to see his goodness in the land of the living, pre-heaven. Seeing God's goodness pre-heaven. How many of you are into that? Seeing God's goodness pre-heaven, pre-eternity. I'm going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me, he takes me there. When I'm in desperate need, he makes sure I've got green pasture. He makes sure I'm by still waters. He brings that into my life, and that's his abundant life. That's the life that Jesus has for me, but only if I use him as the door. That doesn't exist everywhere. That doesn't exist everywhere. Peace, security, abundance doesn't exist everywhere. It exists when Jesus is the door. How do we walk through the door? How do we walk through the door? Here on earth, living in the tension of his the now and the not yet, his kingdom come. It is here and it's coming. How do we live in that right now? Well, Jesus says it in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All what things? The things. The peace, the joy, the abundant life in Christ happens when you enter through the door. How do you enter through the door? You put him first. The door to get into my house is first. You can come up the sidewalk. You can stand in my driveway. I mean, I might meet you out there if you're just creeping. But to get into my house, that's why he says thieves. That's why he's talking about, he says, I am the door. Thieves come to go in and wreck stuff and destroy your life. I am the actual door, guys. That's what he's saying here. It's me. When you seek me first, when you put Jesus first, when you seek first the kingdom of God, it opens the door to the rest of the house of heaven. When you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you're going to be the first to know when heaven and earth are colliding. You're going to be the first to know when his kingdom is overlapping with what's happening here. Why? Because he's first on your mind. You're looking for him everywhere you go. You're watching for him. He's first. You seek him, and everything you do, you're pursuing him full tilt. You're on it. You are looking for him everywhere you go. You're looking for Jesus. You're pursuing him. You're seeking him and his kingdom first, his righteousness. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the door. Pursue his kingdom. Full stop. Your life will change in ways you have never imagined. Pursue Jesus. Seek him first. He's the door of salvation and the door of your life. The door to life. Like I said earlier, we're not talking about name it and claim it kind of garbage today. We're talking about the truth of the kingdom of God. If you want a life that's full of the abundance of God, seek him first. He's the door. I'm done. Let's stand up. We're going to meet with God right now. In light of what God was speaking to us earlier, where somebody sent in that word that said, hey, this is what I feel God calling us to. To repentance. Some of us might need to walk in repentance this morning for not putting him first. That's okay. Let's do that. We're a family, right? We're going to receive communion now together. But as we do that, first I just want to say, I'm going to just call for two responses as we take communion together. First, I want to invite you, if Jesus Christ is not yet the Lord of your life, today to make him the Lord of your life, right here. Today's your day. Jesus in another place talks about another door. It's the door of your heart. And he says, I'm knocking. I'm knocking on the door of your heart. If today you hear my voice and you open it, I want to come in and I want to fellowship with you. Jesus wants to fellowship with you. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if he is not the Lord of your life, if you've not made a decision to turn your life over to Jesus Christ, we want to pray with you right now. If that's you, just raise your hand. We want to pray with you. We're going to wait. Okay, this one right back there. All the way in the back. Who else? You would say, today I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Right here. Just keep your hand up. Someone's going to come, put a hand on your shoulder, pray for you. Who else? You say, today's the day I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ. Today's the day. Okay. Yep. Awesome. Thank you, God. But let's just wait. Today in this room, there's people coming to a life-saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and making him the Lord of their life. Thank you, Jesus. He's the door. And today, as we take communion together, if maybe you've been standing at another door, maybe you need to reestablish him as the door of your life, and you need to walk through that door today. Let's do that together as we take communion together. You would just say, hey, I know I need him. Even like earlier where we were walking in repentance and reestablishing him as our first love. Let's do that today as we receive these elements together. Let's take the bread together. His body broken for us. He says, when we do this, we remember him. Let's take the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. And this cup represents his blood shed on the cross, poured out for all of humanity, for you and I, where we find the removal of all of our sin, the atonement for all of our sin laid on him. He's the door. His blood allows us to walk through that door today into life and life more abundantly. Let's take the wine together. And now let's just thank him all over this room. Can we just thank him? Right where you are today, let's just thank him. Don't rush this moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we can walk through the door into eternal life and to life right here more abundantly. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just let those words just rise out of your heart. A thank you to Jesus. From a grateful heart, praise from a grateful heart. Thank you, Jesus. We're not gonna rush this today. If you feel like you need to respond today to make Jesus the door of your life, you need to walk through life and more abundantly. You've been believing him, and now you're saying, hey, I need to put my faith in his word. If that's you today, we want to pray with you. Would you just come right up to the front? We want to agree with you in prayer today for life and life more abundantly. Something you've been believing God for, something that has been spoken over you or over your life or maybe over your, I don't know. But we want to believe with you. We want to stand with you in faith and believe God with you. If that's you this morning, I invite you just to come. We want to pray with you. Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the door for the sheep. So right now, and he said, my sheep listen to my voice. So right now, can we just tune our ear to him? Right where you stand, right where you sit, right where you are. We're not in a rush. We're just gonna listen. Would you just listen? Say, Jesus, I'm listening. Shepherd, I'm listening. Jesus, we're listening. Let us see, he's just bringing some people right to still waters. That's you. Just say, Jesus, I receive that. Lead me to still waters right now. Jesus, the shepherd, he's leading you to still waters. Peace over your life. I speak that over you right now in the name of Jesus. Peace over your life. Still waters. I speak peace over you right now in the name of Jesus. Still waters, green pastures. Still waters, green pastures, listening to the shepherd today. I speak peace over your mind and over your heart right now in Jesus' name. If you came in here with a troubled mind this morning, things are just stirring, and I just speak peace over your mind today in Jesus' name. I speak peace over your future in Jesus' name. The good shepherd has your future in his hands. I speak safety over you. Safety and peace right now. the good shepherd. Ooh. Peace right now in Jesus' name. Oh, just receive his peace. Just, if you need that today, just say, Lord, I receive your peace. I receive your peace, your salvation. Sit in his presence today. Stand in his presence. Please don't feel any rush. If you need to go get your kids, that's fine. But just meet with Jesus today. There's a few words for prayer I want to put up on the screen. Things the team was feeling earlier. If you need to respond to any of them, just come on up. Today's the day to break the lies of a condemning spirit. Step into his grace and love, healing. He wants to restore the joy of your salvation. So if this applies to any of you this morning, just go ahead and come on up. We want to pray with you. If you need healing in your body for anything physical, would you just come on up? We want to just see healing today in your body. Maybe you need healing in your mind. Come on up. We want to pray for you. God bless you. We're just going to close today. Feel free just to keep hanging out and meeting with God in this room. His presence is here in just such a rich way. Jesus. We receive your presence, Jesus. We receive your presence, God. Come and move, Jesus.
Thanks for listening. To respond or receive prayer after the live stream closes, please email prayer@vineyardboise.org. And if possible, include your phone number. We'd love to get in touch with you. Thanks.